And back up at Woodbine, nice enough to join us now is Kevin Attard. He has a couple in the Queen's Plate today. The 2-1 morning line favorite, Clayton, as well as Miravalu, the filly who was third in the Woodbine Oaks last time out, to second choice Curlin's Voyage on the morning line. Kevin, thanks for some time on a busy Saturday morning. Happy Queen's Plate Day, my friend.
Happy Queen's Plate Day. Good morning, and thank you for having me on.
Yeah, always a pleasure to have you on. Last name Attard, synonymous with Canadian racing. You guys have been plying that trade up there for many years, and have a big hand in today's 161st running of the Queen's Plate. Let's start with the morning line favorite, Clayton. He looked real good winning that plate trial last time out.
Yeah, he's a nice colt. Obviously was impressive from the very first time he ran. We've been kind of high on him for a long time, and he's been stretching out nicely. He gallops out well in his races, too, to suggest that the mile and a quarter shouldn't be a problem for him. He has the pedigree to run long, so we're hoping for a good performance today.
Kevin, he broke his maiden first time out in very impressive fashion, going 5 furlongs back in November of last year, then was sidelined until June, so just about a 7-month break. Was that by design? Was the plan to get the maiden broken and then point him to the Queen's Plate, or did he go to the sidelines for other reasons?
No, obviously with him being a Canadian bred, the plan was to kind of aim for the Queen's Plate. Obviously we weren't anticipating such a lengthy layoff, but when COVID hit, kind of everything got derailed, and everything kind of just had to be changed around, and we got backed up a little bit here at Woodbine. We weren't allowed to breeze for a bit of a time, and then once things started to get rolling again, and dates were finally kind of set and established, then we started gearing back up for this run today.
That's probably one of the things a lot of people I think took for granted when it came to the COVID. It wasn't about just not racing, but one of the top horsemen up there, you really a bit of a different schedule. Yet Barn hasn't missed a beat, winning at 17% of the meet. When people look at percentages, I like to break down, that's 1 out of every 6, which is obviously a fantastic rate, and trainers would kill to win with 1 out of every 6 starters. So the Barn doesn't miss a beat, but everything kind of gets postponed. What's that like, especially with a horse like him, who obviously, an 88 buyer speed figure to kick off his career, and now you have to manage him differently coming back. Talk about some of the trials and tribulations in that regard.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of luck has to go your way at that point then, because, everything kind of, you can't afford any hiccups along the way now. We were fortunate enough that everything kind of went as planned, as scheduled, and he came along nicely. Obviously, he's a horse that lacks seasoning, so we needed to get a few races just to kind of, A, teach him to saddle, and B, stretch him out to see if he wanted to go 2 turns. So, like I said, we were just really lucky. Everything's kind of fallen into place, and we haven't had any kind of steps that needed to kind of take backwards, and he's come to this, coming up to this race in good shape.
Yeah, 2 starts back when you stretch him out for the first time, he won pretty easily, going 1 mile and 1/16, and then the plate trial last time out, from 1 mile and 1/16 to 1 mile and 1/8, it went from a 3-length win to a 1/2-length win. But I think you can argue he almost ran better last time when he stretched out, and you had to be thrilled with how he kind of kept those horses at bay in the latter stages.
Yeah, no doubt. He definitely kind of pinned his ears and made sure he kept his head in front. He's maturing. He's still a little bit green, but he's learning each and every start. He failed to switch leads in his last start, which was a first for him. But hopefully, today he's kind of just that much more further ahead, and he does everything the right way. And I think if he does, we're going to have a good chance.
Just about 4 weeks between that plate trial. 4 weeks between the plate trial and this race today. See a couple of breezes on his card. You mentioned a little bit of a lack of seasoning. This will just be his 5th start of his career. 5 starts in about 10 months. Do you do a little bit more with him between his breezes to get him ready for the mile and a quarter? Do you kind of just train him the same way?
You know, I've trained him about the same. I think, you know, I mean, at this point, he's fit enough to handle the distance. You know, he's run, you know, I mean, run three races within the last basically 3 months. So I didn't want to overdo it with him. I think he's kind of peaking right now, and it's kind of riding that fine line with trying to do enough and not overdoing it.
Talking with trainer Kevin Attard, he has the morning line favorite, Clayton, in today's Queen's Plate, the 161st running of the Queen's Plate. He also has Miravalu, Philly, we'll talk about in just a minute. 2-1 morning line favorite. He's gone off favorite in each of his four starts. So obviously, you know, a horse that's turned some heads. And, you know, a bargain price for him. Just $50,000 as a yearling back at the Keeneland Septembersdale a couple of years ago in 2018.
Yeah, you know, he was purchased by one of the best eyes in racing, Donato Lani, right? So he's obviously done really well in picking out and spotting out young horses. So I was just very fortunate to kind of have the opportunity to have this horse come in my barn. And he's shown, you know, great talent and potential. And hopefully we can reward Donato and his partner, Daniel Plouffe, this afternoon.
Post 12, a concern for you with Clayton?
He's got natural speed. Yeah, it's a race on paper that, I mean, there's no really clear-cut speed horse. So I'm just going to leave it up to the jock. You know, obviously, you know, we don't want to be caught wide in that first turn. Hopefully he breaks well, and we're able to kind of get good positioning into that first turn, and then he can work out a trip from there.
Yeah, that jock, of course, Rafael Hernandez, one of the leading riders up at Woodbine year in and year out. He's not the only, Clayton's not the only one you have in this Queen's Plate today. Miravalu is going to break from post two. Kaz Kimura going to ride. This filly, a little bit more seasoned than Clayton. She's run twice as many times. She's run 8 times. Talk to me a little bit about Miravalu.
Yeah, she's a real nice filly. The distance looks like it's not going to be an issue at all for her. You know, she showed some good potential last year at 2, had a couple tough losses, has had, to me, a couple unfortunate trips, you know, hasn't had the best of racing luck in her last 2 starts. And I really think that if kind of the chips fall her way today, she's going to be a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, 3 consecutive 7-hole draws, 2 of which she was the outside post last time in the Oaks, middle of the pack. You mentioned that not ideal trips the last 2 times. 2 starts back in the Saline, she got caught wide. You put a pair of blinkers on her for the Woodbine Oaks. Has that changed her at all?
No, so to be honest, I was surprised she was so far back last time. Like, I did think the blinkers actually had to relax her a little bit, and the reason to kind of put them on was just to keep her a little bit more focused. I thought she had a tendency to kind of hang and run with horses instead of kind of passing and kind of kicking on. So that was the idea of the blinkers. It didn't seem to kind of put any speed into her. And when we ran her in the Oaks, she was further back than I could ever anticipated. But she closed well, got into a little bit of trouble, and galloped out really strongly after the race, suggesting that another 1/8 of a mile is going to be right up her alley.
She, on paper anyway, she's really been tearing up that surface up at Woodbine in the morning. 58-2, 47. Is she a good workhorse overall, or have those blinkers sharpened her up a little bit?
No, she's always actually been a good workhorse. Her last 2 works have definitely been a little stronger. She's just, I think she's a horse that's on top of her game right now. And, you know, she's just putting everything together. Big filly, kind of maturing into herself. So I just think things are starting to kind of fall into place for her. And I think she's got a big race coming out of her today.
You know, we were talking to Mike Maker a little earlier in the program. He's got horses in 18 of the 22 races at Kentucky Downs this weekend. You got 8 in today. Well, you have more than 8 in. You're in 8 races today. How do you juggle all of those around the biggest race in the country.
Yeah, it's definitely a very busy day, but you're only as good as the people behind you. And we've got a good crew of workers here, grooms, hot walkers, exercise riders. So I've got a great assistant trainer. So all hands are on deck. And, you know, I mean, the horses are set and ready to go. So it's just now a matter of kind of everybody relaxing and putting it all together and hoping for some racing luck.
You know, we talked about the family name. You've been around in the game most of your life. What would it mean to you to win this Queen's Plate?
It'd mean everything. This is a real special race. It's obviously the longest continuous run stake race in North America. This is the 161st running of it. There's a lot of prestige in winning this race. So, I mean, as a kid growing up, being Canadian, race here at Woodbine, this being my home, this race means everything, really. It'd be a real big achievement. We got close to winning it in 2007 with a horse named Alessandro, and this is probably the first time since then that I've coming into the race with two solid chances.
You have a favorite Queen's Plate from when you were younger?
Tough to say. You know what I mean? Obviously, I'd be biased to saying when I ran second is probably one of my Queen's Plate because it was my, you know what I mean, first one. It was a big big deal for me. We had a good chance at winning it, just lost it at the very end. But I also go back in the mid-'80s when my uncle, obviously Larry, won the Queen's Plate with Bompago. That was obviously a really memorable moment. I was still a really young child at the time, but I do remember the race. And I do remember him winning, and just to see an Attard obviously accomplish such a great feat was meant a lot to me.
We'll see if your favorite Queen's Plate can change in about 9.5 hours.
Yeah, I'm hoping it does. That's it, definitely. So 2020's been a strange year, and it'd be nice to have something as memorable as that. That's for sure.
All right, Kevin, thanks for some time this morning. We'll let you get ready for what figures to be a busy, busy day. He's in 8 of the 13 races at Woodbine today, including the big one, the $1 million, 161st running of the Queen's Plate. Thanks, Kevin. Good luck today.
Thank you very much. Appreciate having me on.